Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin of Lakers Daily. I am joined by Roz Chapalu. Again, soon we'll officially be of the Lakers Lounge family as well. We are here to talk tonight because the Lakers staved off elimination. They ended the streak. They, they pissed off a whole bunch of Nuggets fans, which is also nice. But most importantly, Roz, they showed that the Denver Nuggets can bleed. Here we go.
Yes.
His helmet was stifling. It narrowed his vision, but he must see far. His shield was heavy. It threw him off balance. And his target is far away.
Yeah, buddy. That is the incredible movie 300 from whenever it was that it got released.
Is that how it really looks? Like, that's how the whole movie is kind of pictured like that? Like it's...
Yeah, it was like that was the one time Zack Snyder did a good thing. he's been a doofus ever since. But no, the Lakers, they end the streak. The streak ends at 11. We're going to be talking about the game itself. We're going to be talking about D'Angelo Russell and Austin playing really, really well in this one together. And I think the key to things turning around. And then we've talked a lot, Raj, about the basketball gods. We've talked a lot about how, you know, what the Lakers would have been risking had they tempted fate, lost on purpose to the Pelicans, faced the Kings, how that might have gone in order to duck the Denver Nuggets. But I'm going to make the argument that I think Denver is kind of tempting fate here too. And if we're going to believe in the basketball gods, you know, and the dangers that lurk when you piss off the basketball gods, if the Lakers piss off the basketball gods, if we're going to go there with the Lakers, I think we should also probably go there with the Denver Nuggets. So we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. But yeah, Raj, like the I didn't do playback today. I think this you mentioned this before we went live. I think this means I can no longer do playback. right, kind of bummer. I enjoy watching the games with you guys.
Yeah.
But what was that like? Were you guys just I had accepted fate. Now I will say this. LeBron James was being given points, and you could earn plus money by betting on LeBron James to win a playoff game at home. So I bet the Lakers in this one. I bet the Lakers. Okay. Made a nice little bet here that covers my bet. I am now fully in the plus. If and when Denver, wins the championship or whatever, Avery can go to college. We don't have to worry about that anymore. But I had pretty much accepted fate, and I was, really kind of nervous. I didn't like the Lakers' chances going into the fourth quarter, up only 11 on the Denver Nuggets. What was the difference here? What did you see different in this game? Why were the Lakers able to figure this one out?
Yeah, first off, I'm just excited the season's not over. Like, I really did not want this to end today. So, I was kind of pushing online. Let's at least get this to Denver, make them earn it. And this kind of, Anthony, just justifies how I felt the last, three games. I was on here with you, Sabrina, and Harrison, kind of preaching from my own insane asylum, it felt like, of, hey, these games are actually closer than, like, they look like. If you go back and watch, and if you go look at the numbers, we were actually closer than it appears. And I thought tonight we actually got some breaks in this series. Jamal Murray continued to be cold, right? KCP didn't just hit everything. Everything didn't go in. Jokic didn't get every offensive rebound. We got good games from both Austin and D'Lo. D'Lo having this Jekyll and Hyde, another movie I haven't seen, but Jekyll and Hyde of like where he plays well one game, doesn't play well another game. He had an awesome game tonight, was super aggressive. We benched Rui down the stretch. Me and you were kind of on the same wavelength tweeting. We were concerned about the minutes with those four guards and AD, right? But that unit really sped up the pace when Jokic was on the floor. I thought Torian did an awesome job attacking closeouts. And again, like this game kind of followed the same script as the last three. It continued.
It Lakers did. Play, I yeah, tweeted Lakers out play. This was the exact same script from the first 11. It was like fast. Yeah. It was a Fast and Furious. It was the same movie 11 times over.
You know, it's funny. I think I went as a kid and saw Fast and Furious 1 in the theaters, and I never watched another one. But yeah, like this game followed that same script. And I was also, I wasn't confident because, obviously how these games have gone. But as the game continued, as, MPJ finally missed a shot, again, Jamal Murray was cold. KCP wasn't doing much. Aaron Gordon finally looked human. He had two fadeaway jumpers, which were, very sad to watch him continue to swish those in, but I thought we controlled the pace again. I thought we were physical inside. We won the rebounding battle, I think, for the first time in this series. A lot of that was Anthony Davis, who I'm sure we'll touch on. Anthony Davis, a 2020 game, just another guy that should get, a ton of flowers for the way he's played in the series. No matter if we lose or win the series, I think AD should get a lot of credit for what he's done. But and again, LeBron able to get to the basket. And one interesting thing I think we did, Anthony, in the fourth quarter, we had LeBron more off the ball. Like, he was more of a cutter, right? And he was cutting off of, we were running D'Lo ball screens, and D'Lo was shooting well, and he was finding AD on the short roll. And then LeBron was cutting off of that. A lot of baskets, a lot of backdoors for LeBron, where he wasn't just going one on five against the defense, putting his head, putting his dead head down. He was able to kind of cut off the ball and work, on off screens. And it's great to finally get that monkey off your back. And, don't let us get one more is what I'll say. Like, just don't let us get one more. Like, that game five is the real game here. We get game five in the series, at least gets a little interesting. But before we get there, I'm just excited that the Lakers won. We beat Denver. It's the monkey's off your back. We can play a little bit more free now. I don't have to go in the summer and go, it's a close sweep to you and anyone else who asked. It's no longer a sweep.
So now we'll see. It's excited. A close gentleman sweep.
No.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I before we even get to like what this means for the series, what this means macro, I already see people asking about Darvin Ham and stuff. We'll get to that later in the show, but I do want to just enjoy this game. I thought you mentioned that I don't take as optimistic of you, shocking, but I don't take as optimistic of you of that small lineup there. I thought they just made shots, you know, and Denver missed shots. You know, so that still don't love that. I still don't love that. Like with the season on the line, Darvin refuses to learn his lesson with that group, you know, and then playing quote unquote well here and holding the fort, what, you know, during that stretch just means we're definitely going to see it on the road where it's less likely they're going to make shots in Denver. Right. So I don't necessarily love that. What we did see tonight, though, where I do think that we saw Darvin learn his lesson a little bit, Jackson Hayes didn't get a DNP CD. Jackson, I think, is one of very few Lakers actually in the series who holds a positive plus minus. And it's not that like he is great. Like, he's a particularly bad matchup against Jokic, but in non-Jokic minutes, when he's playing out there with LeBron, he can go out there, actually, from that very same movie. I used this analogy with what I thought the bench would look like this year, but in that movie, and I'll explain this because you haven't seen it. But in that movie, the main character that you just saw throwing that spear, he is a Spartan, right? He's the head of the Spartan
army or
army
something.
Yeah,
okay.
And they are taking on the Persian army headed by the guy who you saw get pierced by the spear there, right? And they are just hopelessly outmatched. They are just you know, there's no chance there. But one of the scenes that they have, and it's one of my favorite scenes in that movie, and I'm not gonna lie, not even a guilty pleasure, I just love that movie. I love that movie. I will watch it. It used to come on TNT all the time. Every time I saw it on TNT, I would stop and I would rewatch it there. But there's a scene in there where the narrator, who also is a Spartan, the narrator talks about the Athenians and how the Athenians, he just like marvels at them. He goes, "God, they still believed in polytheism back then." He goes, "Gods, I love the Athenians. They just go in there and they muck shit up." That's not his actual line. And he just talks about how it is complete chaos. They sometimes hit each other with their swords, but screw it. They're doing a bunch of damage to everybody else. And that's Jackson Hayes in this series, I think. And that's, that's Jackson Hayes' general energy, is that he will go out there and he's on infinite turbo mode. Sometimes he overruns where he needs to run to. Sometimes he bumps into other people. There are times where I'm concerned he might foul LeBron. But I think the Lakers really benefit from that energy. I think they really benefit from somebody going out there and just being like, you know what? Screw it. Yeah, I might get an over the back call here. I might be out of position here, but being out of position means that I really tried hard to contest over here. And just also reintroducing size, right? The Lakers did not play Jackson Hayes in last game, and I thought they were consistently too small in those minutes that Anthony Davis was sitting. And in this one, they weren't, you know, and I'd have to look at his numbers at the end of the day, at the end of the game. And I have to look at what the actual game looked like while he was out there, but it worked, right? Like I thought that was a key example of Darvin learning from the previous game.
Yeah, so like just going on the Jackson point, I think this is an issue that the Suns have, the Lakers have, and even the Clippers have, where their stars have to also be the dirty work, high motor players, right? And that's a really tough ask, especially for the older stars in the league. And I think that's one of the reasons why you see a team like Phoenix that's down 3-0. Jackson Hayes is able to come in and just muck things up, have high energy, be able to take some of that rebounding task away from AD, away from LeBron when, you know, Jokic is sitting as well. And yeah, it's not just size, Anthony, it's size with motor. Like, we need guys who play hard. That's why, like, I didn't think this was a Vando series, like, to start. When I'm watching, I'm like, just one more guy with high motor, and that's all he does. He's known for energy and defense, and players like that are so important in a playoff series. You're seeing that again with a guy like Nikhil Alexander-Walker in Minnesota, who's playing really well, who's shooting the ball well as well. But just high motor, high energy dudes who just are tough at the point of attack. And Jackson's not that type, but what he does allow you to do, Anthony, he allows us to play a defensive coverage that we can't pretty much when anyone else is on the floor, and it allows us to blitz Jamal Murray. Right. So like when Jamal Murray was running his ball screens, when Jackson Hayes was out there, we were blitzing him with Hayes because Hayes can at least keep up with him with the foot speed. Now, there's ways that Jamal Murray can go into some trickery, and some of the shots that he makes looks like they're just put in by God sometimes. But like at least Jackson Hayes will be able to move his feet and kind of stay with him. And that's what he was able to do. We played a little bit of, you know, that LeBron Rui two man. At least I think they played a little bit. But for the most part, it was AD and Hayes. AD also, I believe, really high minutes tonight. To get this win.
His
but yeah,
6 minutes was a net neutral, which
okay
is perfect,
which is a win. Yeah, which is a win.
Like that means you didn't lose some AD on the bench minutes.
It's not just that, like when he's on the court, he's the one crashing. He also got his second chance points, right? Again, just take some of those hits away from LeBron and away from AD. That's all you're asking. You're trying to play the war of attrition here and trying to get those dudes healthy into the, like, feeling rested into the fourth quarter. And some of that is not having to just take a elbow from Aaron Gordon every single time, right? Because Aaron Gordon has to go and box out Jackson Hayes, or AD doesn't get a huge bump off from Gordon or Jokic, whoever, MPJ crashing and stuff like that. So I thought that was huge. I thought Hayes coming in really energized the team. Rui was a little bit slow, but again, Taurean off the bench too, just being able to attack closeouts. Anthony, Gabe Vincent hit a three tonight. Like, he freaking hit a three-pointer. That was huge. And that's
also
something
airballed a two-foot floater.
Yeah, we don't have to speak on that one so soon. But yeah, like, I was just so happy to see him at least make a shot. And he continues to play.
The only shot he made was the three. He went one of four from the field.
It was a
plus six in the game.
No, but he defended Jamal Murray really well. And this is again, I don't want to jinx it or, you know, get us, you know, in trouble.
There's
here.
There's no such thing as jinxing. You were down 3-0 and now you're down 3-1. Like, okay. Jinx is whatever, or you kind of go out there, like, whatever you want to say, Raj, let it
all
fire.
Right, all right. So,
I'm irresponsible. I started this thing by playing a clip of a Persian emperor getting grazed by a spear, and how essentially the lesson there, right? The reason that I played it is once the Spartan army, and because essentially, like, they were only allowed to send 300
I don't even
soldiers.
Have to watch the movie anymore. This is great. Like, I feel like I got the whole synopsis.
No, I'm hoping I'm inspiring you to go and see this movie.
Okay.
But essentially, like, because of some politics and because of some corruption within the Spartan government, mm-hmm. they were only allowed to send 300 soldiers into this suicide mission against, you know, the bulk of the Persian army, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they show up and, like, the Persians have fucking elephants, and they have these, like, they're just like an insane, very similarly to the Lakers Nuggets thing, right? It's this insane mismatch. There is the Spartan army is at an incredible disadvantage here, but they understand the terrain. They take that to their benefit, and they hand out enough L's to this Persian empire. And, you know, with their final act, they basically show that this guy can bleed, and they show that this Persian empire can actually be toppled. And in doing so, they inspire everybody to kind of rally and take on this Persian empire and stop them from, you know, taking over the globe. And again, I don't know how historically accurate any of this is, but it's a badass movie. And when I saw it and I was super duper young, I thought, wow, this is really, really cool. Whole bunch of blood, whole bunch of gore. Love this movie. Unfortunately, it's also given Zack Snyder the ability to go out there and make terrible movie after terrible movie after terrible movie, and
is
all completely derail the DC the DC universe. But that movie was insane. And the whole point of that scene that I showed there, right, is now that the Lakers have beaten them, now that they've, because like I have, we've seen it in this matchup. You can see the other guys on the Lakers have not necessarily felt like they can beat this team. They've Sorry. Lost to them often enough and in the same exact way over and over and over again. And the lesson to take from this one, and again, we're going to talk about the way that Denver is tempting fate here later in the show. And this is completely irresponsible by me. Probably going to get clipped. I'm probably going to regret saying all of this stuff. But the Lakers can now have some belief, having done so, that they can beat this team. So after I say that, after I say all of that, there is nothing more irresponsible you can say. Fire away, Raj.
Okay. Yeah. Is Zack Snyder, is that a producer or like a director?
Director.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
For sure. Old nerd, but yeah. He's not very good.
Okay. For sure. So I'm not really an irresponsible person, but like the irresponsible part of this is I think Jamal Murray has not played well in this series. Like if you take out the game to just destruction that he caused, like where he hit every jump shot down the stretch, Jamal Murray really has continued to struggle shooting. Like he was, I think, 9 for 26 or something tonight. I think the Lakers are doing a fine job on him. I think they're doing a fine job defensively. Another game where Denver shoots 30% from three, right? Like obviously, there's a margin there that they can shoot better. But I think a lot of that is we're giving them the type of threes we want to give up. And we're still shooting. We shot 30% from three as well tonight. So it was kind of even. There's a margin there for us to get better. But I think our defense has been consistent. We played well in Denver already. The altitude is something that, you know, most teams have to get used to. But we've played well over there. We had a 20-point lead, obviously, in game two before we collapsed down the stretch. I think this series has, again, I don't sound as insane anymore because they did win tonight. But, like, this is something this is the trend I was watching that I think in, like, if you play this series over again 10 times, the Lakers split those first two, in my opinion, at least one of those. Like, just how the numbers look, there's some crazy stat of how we've led for like a hunt for way more than Denver has in this series. And yet we're down 3-1 and like those just don't match how the numbers should play out. So there's, again, I'm not trying to say we're going to win this series. It's never happened before. But you know what has happened before, Anthony? People have come back from 3-1. Like that's a thing that's happened. 3-0 has not.
Yes. But like, get irresponsible. Let's go, Raj.
And then wait, one more. Hold on. Yeah, thanks for being irresponsible.
No, keep going.
I'm gonna keep these coming. Let me enjoy this night, you know, America. Let me enjoy this night. But no, like, so last
Didn't
year.
We let up when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Oh, my God.
You won't get that reference either, but I promise you other people will.
Okay. I took history class. But no, no like. So...
That's not history.
Okay. All right. Well, you can explain that to me later, but. Okay. But so last year, I don't know how we move on for that, but like last year, I'd argue that that Boston should have come back from 3-0, but Jason Tatum got hurt in game seven in the first year. I'm sorry. Like, I'm just not good at these movie references. Was that a movie or was that like a TV show?
Not real life. The Germans didn't bomb Pearl Harbor for one.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yes. I just was ready to get back to basketball. I did not know where to take that.
It's from the movie Animal House, where okay. This guy is giving this speech. Okay. And he's gonna be saying nonsense, just utter nonsense. And one of the lines that he says, paraphrasing, is did we quit when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? And this guy rises up, like one of the other people rises up to like correct him, and the character goes, don't mess with him, he's in a rhythm, he's on a roll. But no, Raj, it's not history. That's not real history. The Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
All I heard was Pearl Harbor. I've heard.
This is the hardest I've ever laughed on the show. All right. I'm sorry. Completely derailed you.
No. Dying. Okay. So my last point to try and move on as best as we could. So I would argue that last year Boston should have come back from 3-0. they had game seven, obviously was at home, and I think they would have won that, but Jason Tatum got hurt, I believe, in the first 2 minutes of that game. So I think, like, not saying it's possible, not saying it's going to happen, but there hasn't been crazier things that happened. But I guess that's the reason to kind of go into game five, at least the Lakers should, with some type of belief, and you might have the best player on your, you know, in the world on your team. So that's me being irresponsible. The real thing is Denver's going to come out and try to punch you in your throat in the first 5 minutes, or maybe they don't, or maybe they continue to tempt fate.
So I think the Anthony Davis thing here is, I think, the most interesting thing, where Jokic is like the nth degree example, right? Of the type of player that gives Anthony Davis problems. And he and those types of players give AD such problems that it messes up his offense too. The way that AD has played in this series has gone completely unnoticed. Now they were down 3-0. And normally, even good play on a team that is down 3-0 tends to get ignored because you've lost three games. But Anthony Davis now, for four straight games, has gone toe-to-toe with Nikola Jokic.
Yep.
And again, continues to show it. I thought, now Jokic was incredible again tonight, right? Jokic finishes with 13 points, 14 assists, and 14 rebounds. That's not too shabby, but like you said, Anthony Davis goes for 25 and 23 and 6 assists to go with, or on 11 of 17 shooting. He has shot really well in the series. He has played really physical in the series. He has disappeared, right? That was the concern that he came out of game three with, or was it game three or game two? Whatever, game whichever two. One it was. Game two, right, where he started 14 of 15, finished 14 of 19.
Yeah,
or 15 for 19. And like, there are, like, he's not a perfect player, but he has shown you, like, he has this in him, and he has it in him consistently if you just stick with him. And I started this conversation, Roz, by asking, what's the difference here between the Lakers giving up their lead and not?
Yeah.
And it still isn't the type of production I would like to see from AD in the second half, but it was some. Like, he was still involved in the second half, and he was still a big part of their offense. When the Lakers needed buckets, he got them. He got them within the offense itself or via offensive rebound. Like, that's the part of this that has really kind of driven me insane, is like, when Shaq didn't get the ball, he made it known that he wasn't getting the ball, and he would demand accountability of anybody who deserved accountability in those stretches for not getting him the ball. But also, he would go out and get an offensive rebound, and he would dunk it, and he would get an and one. And while he would be walking back to the free throw line for that and one, he would tell everybody on the court, get me the mother effing ball, right?
Yeah.
This is me getting it for myself, but get me the mother effing ball. And with AD tonight, he had a put back tonight, late-ish in the game, and you know, got it should have been an and one, in my opinion. The Lakers shot fewer free throws than the Nuggets tonight, and for some reason nobody's talking about that. But he got that offensive rebound. He finished with three offensive rebounds in the game. I think that's the most he's had in this series. I'd have to look. He was still a factor in that second half. And when you look for reasons, we'll talk about D'Lo and Austin here in a second, but when you look for reasons why the Lakers were able to stay after it in the second half and maintain that lead in the second half where they've coughed it up in the past, that to me is why, because he's your best player and he cannot disappear. You cannot let him disappear, again, in a playoff series.
He has the largest ask, right, in this series. And I spoke earlier about the ask on, like, guys like KD, guys on LeBron. AD has a universal ask. Like, he has to guard the best player in the world. And Jokic is so unique, such a unicorn in this way, that he not only scores on you, he's extremely physical, and he's also the head playmaker for the team. That's a very rare kind of combination to be. Usually, like, not very many teams run like a very run their offense through their bigs in this way, and the ones that do aren't as physical as Jokic. So number one, AD's doing that. Number two, he has to drop his 30 a game or the Lakers wouldn't be in this series, right? So he gets what, another 25 points, 11 for 17, super efficient. Anthony, only 4 points in the second half, I believe, but he was involved in the second half, right? That's the difference. He's not standing in the corner, and AD had the second half.